Hey, Alexa. Alexa, come here for a second. Come here. Alexa, what's your favorite radio talk show?
The Ron Van Dam Show, of course.
There you go.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hello. Hold on tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird. Ooh. If you like that sort of thing.
I think I like it. I'm not sure.
Whatever.
Morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Interesting.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Ooh, thank you very much, Julie. And thank you to all of you as well. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's get started with... Oh, thank you. Thank you. This is so unexpected. Thank you. Thank you very... Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. You people are nuts. Oh, hey, come on. Don't turn on me like... Oh, God. So fickle today. You must have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know which side that is. How is there a wrong side of the bed? I guess if your bed's against the wall and you get out of bed where the wall is, that would be the wrong side. I don't know. That's a bad day. That's a bad day. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you. This is a special occasion, of course. It's your birthday, and I never forget it. I might be off by a couple of years, but nonetheless... Most of us have birthdays every year. I don't. It's not that I was born on a leap year or anything like that. I just don't celebrate them at all anymore. They're embarrassing. You know, if you tell somebody it's your birthday, they logically say, well, how old are you? And then I have to leave. I don't. It's none of your business. And why would that matter to you? Will you not talk to me if I'm in a certain age group? What's the problem with that? Why are you asking me how old? It's so personal. My mother was a very personal person. She was. As a matter of fact, when she gave birth to me, she insisted that she be covered up. She didn't want anybody to know where I was coming from. No, he didn't come out of my uterus. No. He came out of my mouth. Oh, no, Mom. Don't tell people that. Don't tell people that. Well, I'm not going to discuss my uterus in front of other people. Well, I'm not asking you to. She's very private. I never knew how old my mother was. She passed about 10 years ago. I found out at that point, how old she was. She never told me. She would not tell me her age. She thought that a woman does not divulge her age. And I don't know why a woman gets away with not doing it, because I don't want to divulge my age now. I guess that rubbed off on me. She would never tell me certain things. Very, very, very private. Very private person. So I don't tell people when my birthday is. I don't want them to make a fuss over me anyway. Boy, every time I mention my birthday, I get surprise parties and cars and trips and people buy me houses and they want to have unbridled sex with me. I don't want that. I'm not into that stuff. So I don't mention my birthday at all. And I think on the show last week I talked about cake. I've got a problem with cake. When someone feeds me what they call a slither of cake, which is never a slither, it's usually half the cake, then I can't stop eating it. I have an obsession with cake. So I don't eat cake. It's like a drug for me. It's like a drug. It's like if I were stopped for speeding and the cop came up to the car and said, wait a minute, I smell cake on you. No, officer. When's the last time you had cake, sir? I put your hands behind your back. I'm not arresting you. I'm just detaining you. Oh, I see. What's the difference between being detained and arrested? Certainly not the handcuffs. Anyway, birthdays and me do not get along. We do not get along. My birthday is coming up within a few months, just to let you know. And then later on in the show, I'll give you my address. You can send me things, but I don't celebrate the birthdays anymore. And I certainly don't divulge my age. I'll tell you how old I am. I'm over 10. I'm over 10. Physically, mentally, I'm under 10. Mentally, I'm like 2. And that's how I aims to keep it. I don't care how, you know, every time, the same response when you tell somebody your age, it's always the same response. They always say, oh my God, you look so young, I would never guess you were that old. They always say that no matter what. You can look like a skeleton on a respirator, and the other person would say, my God, you look great for your age. They're lying. I'm so tired of lying. Between this president and half of you walking the streets, man, I just stop lying to me. I wish we were honest. There'd be a lot more fighting, but we should be honest. You know, like, how old are you? I'm 50. Ooh, you look like you're 80. Oh, that would start fights. So you don't say things. You just don't. People aren't honest. They're just not. And that's fine with me because I don't get involved in that stuff. I really don't. In one ear, out the other, because there's nothing in between my ears. Many people think I'm very, very smart. Yeah, but I got this tunnel between the two ears. It just goes like right through. It's like a magic act. I could stuff a handkerchief in my left ear and then pull it out my right ear, and it would be a magic trick, because you really can't do that, by the way. But it would look like there was nothing in there. Anyway, I'm a little embarrassed about something, and I have no one else to talk to except you. And I know you have nobody to talk to except me. But you can't talk to me, so this is a one-way street that you cannot take advantage of it in any way, shape, or form. I went to the doctor about a month ago now. And when I go to the doctor, it was my annual checkup. Actually, it's my annual give them money annual give them money day. Ron, you haven't paid us any money. You haven't had a checkup. How are we supposed to put our kids through school if you don't have your annual checkup? So come on in here. We need a couple of $1,000. I get this little thing from my health insurance company that tells me at the end of the year how much they paid out on my behalf. And it's staggering. I'm perfectly healthy. Nothing's wrong with me, really, except for the mental and physical problems. But other than that, nothing. And they've paid out tens of thousands of dollars. Why? What? And what? Why? Why? Oh, it's all the testing you have done, Ron. I didn't have it done. My doctor ordered it, and I said, okay, I'll go to the room and test me. I don't pay for it. But my God, that's why health insurance is so expensive. It's the doctors ordering these tests on everybody. Well, Ron, we do this to be proactive. You do it to make money. Don't tell me about proactive. Ron, we're doing it for your own health. You're doing it for your own pocketbook. What are you talking about? I'm not stupid. Maybe I can put a handkerchief in one ear and it comes out the other, but I'm not stupid. By the way, that's a magic trick. So I have the annual physical. She gives me the EKG and all different other letters. And I'm perfectly fine. And my blood pressure is wonderful. And cholesterol's under control. And all that kind of stuff. So she says, well, Ron, keep taking your meds. And I only take a few of them. You know, not a big deal. And says that I want you to go down the lab and have a blood test. And I said, well, what? You're going to stick me with a needle? Yeah, Ron, but it doesn't hurt. We go through this every year. You cry like a baby, and I just tell you we need a blood test. We have to check all your blood. I said, well, I seems to be working. So she says, I want you to not eat after 8 o'clock at night the previous day, and then come down to the lab and have your blood test. Will you please? I say, sure, yeah, right, okay, fine, yeah, okay, whatever you want. But here's my problem. I never take a test without studying for it. Last time I had to take a urine test, I was up all night reading books about it. Found out it's not that kind of test. You don't have to write things down. It's not an essay. You don't go into a classroom and say, okay, it's time for your urine test. Okay, in 500 words or more, write an essay on your urine right now, okay? Tell me all about your urine and all the different colors it can be and if it's hot or it's cold or is it clear. Okay, start writing the urine test now and we'll pick up the papers in about an hour. No, it's not that. Did you just pee into a cup? That's all. I didn't know that. I thought you had to study and go on the internet and Google all. So they're going to ask you questions like, oh, how much water is in the typical cup of urine? I didn't study that one. So anyway, so the blood test I thought was the same. I have to know what kind. I don't even know my blood type. If someone said to me, Ron, what is your blood type? I would say red, pretty much red. Last time I bled, it was red. Sounds like a cat in a hat response. Last time I bled, it was coming out pretty red. So that's the type. It's the red type. No, Ron, is it A? Is it B? Is it AB? Is it O? Is it... I don't know, but you skipped a lot of letters there. You gave me A, you gave me B, you gave me A and B, and then you went right to O. What happened to everything in between? Do people not have those kinds of blood types? I don't know what I am. Apparently it's on your driver's license. I looked. I couldn't find it. I don't know. It doesn't say anything. It says height and weight and address. Doesn't say blood type. I don't know. I don't know my blood type. I guess I should. In case I'm in an accident and I'm bleeding profusely, they could say, Ron, what kind of blood do you have? I don't know. This is a hell of a time to ask me. So I don't know what my blood type is. I really don't. And I'm not going to ask my friends for blood. That's not right. I wouldn't give anybody my blood if they just, Ron, I'm bleeding. I need. Are you type A? Yeah. Give me your blood. No. And you can't have my kidney either. But you have two of those. Yeah, but I'm using both of them. And if not, then one's a good spare. I need a spare. I don't drive around in a car without a spare tire. That's why I have two kidneys. Okay, you're weird. You're weird, though. I know. So I'm studying for my blood test. And that means that I don't want any cholesterol to show. So I can't eat any cholesterol like for about a week. And there's cholesterol in everything. Even you. And I can't. So no eggs, no milk, no cholesterol, no seafood. Everything's got cholesterol in it. No meats, nothing. And then everything's got cholesterol in it. The only thing that doesn't have cholesterol in it is water, and I'm sick and tired of that. God, you know, I have 8 cups of water, 23 gallons of water a day. Yeah, all right, fine. That's great. When you're going to have to strap a toilet bowl to my penis then, because I'm going to be peeing like day and night. That would be the perfect time to give me a urine test. So I can't eat any cholesterol for a whole week. Sugars? No, I don't want. I got prediabetes. So do you. We all do. I mean, even you either have diabetes or you don't. If you don't, then it's pre. Okay, I get that. So I have to be careful, right? I have to be careful, which is why I don't eat cake. So I can't eat any sugar, low sugar stuff. I don't want that. I don't want a lot of sodium in my blood. I mean, it's just such a process to have to eat properly, like for 3-4 days before I take the stupid blood test. And I just haven't had the opportunity. I just haven't. I'm busy. I'm too easy. Too busy eating bread. I can't stay away from bread. Bread follows me like some type of a of a lech. It just or a leech, whatever the hell that word is. Bread just follows me. I turn around and there's bread, just bread. And bread coming out of the oven should be illegal. I know you have to bake bread, but I shouldn't be able to see it or smell it, because that would be lethal for me. I have pre-bread problems. So I haven't had my blood test yet. And I know it's important because you can detect things with blood tests. And you can correct yourself, but you have to know what the problem is that needs to be corrected. But I need to diet. I can't just go willy-nilly. By the way, that's the name of my neighbor, Willie, and his last name is Nilly. It's a stupid name, and I don't know how he even has a job, but that's his name. It's not his name, I lied. But I'm telling the truth about everything else, and I need to take a blood test. So here's what I'm asking. I've known you for a while, right? You've listened to the show for a period of time, I assume, otherwise you wouldn't be listening now. I never asked you much, but I need your help here. I'm not looking for money. It's not a GoFundMe or whatever, go whatever me. It's not that at all. It's just I need some help. I need your help on this. I really don't think I ask a lot of you. As a matter of fact, I don't ask anything of you except to listen to the show. Well, now I'm asking for a little bit more. I need to take a blood test. If you're healthy and you have no diseases whatsoever, you have no cholesterol problems, you have no sugar problems, no glucose problems, I need your blood. I feel like a horny vampire asking for help. I never asked you to help me move. That was tedious. Never asked for your help. Never asked for money from you. This show is completely free to you. You don't have to pay a fee. After all I've done for you, all I'm asking is for a pint of your blood. I don't know how I'm going to get away with it. Because they send you into a little lab with a lab person with a little needle, and I'm going to have to switch containers when they're not looking. Oh, they'll take the blood out of me, but I have to switch the container and take that blood cup and exchange it for the test tube of your blood. It's a lot to ask. You may even have to come to the place with me. You may even have to assume my name. They don't know what I look like. They don't ask for identification. They just ask me what my name is. You can do it for me. Say that you're me. Unless you're a woman, that could be difficult because I have a beard. Let them draw the blood out of you, and then you can just go home. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for your time. I'm not asking for your wallet. I'm not asking to have sex with your wife. All I'm asking is for you to go in place of me and give blood. Is that a lot to ask? I think not.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, sometimes people say that I only say bad things about Ron in these bumps. So it's time for me to say something good. Well, he hasn't killed anyone in a long time. You're listening to Ron Van Dam, Reformed Killer, on New England Broadcasting.
Thank you for your patronage. We do this every single weekday, a brand new show. You can find us right here on newenglandbroadcasting.com or ronvandam.com. Or you can go to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, that Alexa thing, SoundCloud, Spotify, and YouTube. Every single day, these shows are posted. Brand new, all over the place. You can listen any time of day. That's the wonderful thing about this. You go, oh my God, I missed him. He was on at 8 in the morning and I missed him. I'm here all day. And these shows stick around forever. As a matter of fact, we're also on the Podbean network, Podbean. They house all of our episodes, well over 1,200 of them. They're all there. So if you want to binge listen, have a nice time. And that's it, man. That's it, man. You can contact me, not that I'll respond, by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. I don't even know the address, so forget it. Just, you know, go into Facebook, type in my name, and see what happens. The comedy provided, the introductions, all that stuff, John Shanahan. The music that you're listening to, and also the original theme by Jason Shaw. That British girl, and she books some of the interviews for us, is Nicole Reed. I don't know who you are, but that's okay. Got a great guest today, speaking about eating healthy and not having blood problems. I do have a problem. I have acid reflux, and I have gas all the time. I've had gas all of my life. I was a colicky baby. So eating is a very interesting experience for me in the gastric world. So what do you do about that? Well, I thought we would talk to this guest today to find out how to handle these things. Tell you a disgusting fact, and it is true. When I was very young, about 20 years old, I remember sitting on the windowsill in my New York City apartment. I had a lot of gas back then, and I still do. And I had this particular talent. It's disgusting, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I was able to fart the Star Spangled Banner. I had enough gas in me to get through, like, the entire first verse. And I could control my cheeks in order to actually form musical notes. It's a talent that no one should ever have. So I thought I would talk to our guest today. Dr. Julie Gotzka joins us now. We call her Dr. Julie, and we're talking about backyard barbecuing, which is an interesting subject, actually. I think I could talk to you for hours about this because there's so much to it. Actually, what you're doing is you're taking the party and the cooking outside into the elements, which can be quite extreme sometimes. I've always been concerned about that. Let's start with the barbecuing itself, if I may. And thank you for being here, by the way.
Thanks for having me.
Is barbecuing charcoal and that little burnt stuff, I mean, is that actually good for us?
I mean, you know, there's all sorts of theories on yes or no. Uh-huh. In all and honesty, it's probably not the best for you. Yeah. However, burnt does help to absorb toxins, which is why somebody would take charcoal or burnt toast when they have a bellyache.
Yeah, interesting.
But, you know, you do have the toxins from whatever it is that you're cooking, yeah, and, you know, those landing onto your food.
Yeah, and then you've got the fact that it's barbecuing is usually sunny outside, fairly hot, and you've got all this food kind of sitting there in the sun and the heat, and it seems like it's a recipe for your stomach to go a little crazy.
Well, yes, for certain. You're right. There are a lot of facets to this. You know, what happens is a lot of people think that it's the mayonnaise that goes bad quickly. It's yes, onions that actually cause a lot of problems with people. And yes, you should be aware of mayonnaise that's been sitting at room temperature for too long, but it's onions that actually cause this and cause a lot of the, you know, discomfort that you've got stomach-wise.
I mean, onions can cause this because they're acidic anyway, right? I mean, no matter where you cook them.
True, and they absorb toxins.
Yeah.
So when you're eating onions, you actually can absorb toxins just from that.
But Julie, I love onions.
Me too, but just beware if you're not feeling so great, maybe it's too many onions.
Oh my God. All right. Now, usually a barbecue involves a lot of different foods, not just like when you go to a restaurant and you order the chicken and that's it and you'll get like a piece of broccoli with it. I mean, usually barbecue, it's all kinds of stuff. Is variety kind of a doormat for more possibility of problems?
Yes. And, you know, when you're eating a barbecue, when you're having a buffet, when you're having a meal that consists of a tremendous variety and a lot of food over a period of time, yeah, you do have to be a bit strategic. And the first thing that you should start with is the protein. So whatever is on the grill, the steak, the burgers, the chicken, the hot dogs, have that and wait about 20 minutes before you consume potato salads and things like that. It gives your body the ability to break down the actual proteins with enzymes. And that way your body isn't competing against a whole bunch of different types of food.
Usually at a cookout, I usually wolf down the food.
Everyone does.
Well, more than I would inside, I think, because inside it's more of a formal kind of feel. Outside it's just like put it in your mouth and let's do it. I mean, but that's not good for eating, is it? I mean, at all, is it?
No, you get full, you get gassy, your stomach hurts later. And, you know, what I always say is, you know, if you're really hankering for dessert, go get a piece and hide it. Just put it away. And that way you can graze throughout the day and eat the things at a slower pace, and you don't feel like you're competing with others for the same dishes.
What about alcohol? Does that, because usually drinks outside too, it's usually a little more festive, does that add or subtract to the how you feel?
Certainly subtracts, because now you've got the alcohol, which is, you know, if it's beer, it's the carbs and that. So now you've got carbohydrates going in there with steak, going in there with, you know, the fruit salad, and the whole system is just going, wow, that is a lot. So, you know, drink the water, have the meal, and then everything is about a 20-minute wait. Then crack a beer.
Okay. If I see a fly land on a potato salad, should I run for the hills or say, what the hell? It's the five-second fly rule.
It's the fly rule. I mean, nobody wants it, but if you're going to be that crazy, then probably don't go to the barbecue. Right,
don't go, then the barbecues aren't for you anyway. don't even go outside. Okay. I must admit, and I think I'm in this for the first time, I get gassy a lot. And the older I get, the more I have to do something about it. Heartburn and all that kind of stuff. My body just isn't what it used to be. So, like, what do I do about that?
Well, I use a product called Absorbaid. And Absorbaid has all the enzymes in it to break down the foods that we're eating. As we age, we do decrease the ability to make our own enzymes. So now we're eating foods that we used to, and we don't have the ability to break them.
Okay.
Anytime you have gas, burping, bloating, it's basically your system saying, yeah, sorry, we can't break that down. There's no way you're getting nutrition from it. And the basis of all disease I've seen over 27 years is a digestive problem first. So it's not something to just be ignored because it's uncomfortable. It shouldn't be happening because it means, you know, worse is coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when I was a kid, I used to have milk and cereal like every day of my life, five times a day, and nothing. And then I got, you know, older, and it's like now it really affects it gives me heartburn like right away. I'm like, what's up with that? Why is that?
Well, you had a lot of reserves back then. So your bank was filled with reserves. You could do a lot of abuse before it would ever really let you know.
Yeah.
And all that, you know, sort of abuse and the poor food quality and everything else that goes into, you know, American diets, it does take a toll. And, you know, it's...
Now, what about... Now, do I take this Absorbaid before I eat or after I eat? When do I do that?
You can take it right before, during, right after. You know, you do want to get it in within the meal time. You take, you know, two as a normal situation, and it has protease and lipase and catalase, all these things, amylase, to break down the different types of foods in you. And it's amazing how well it works. I have a bowl of it sitting out on Thanksgiving, and people just sort of pop them throughout the day, and no one's rolling around on the couch with belly aches because it is a big eating day.
It is. Well, that can happen to me inside, too. And actually, it happens to me very frequently in restaurants. I don't know if it's because of prepared food or what, but when I go out to eat in restaurants, there's more of an incidence of that. I don't know why.
Well, think about it. They put the bread on the table, so you're munching on that. Yeah. Then your protein comes. Then your salad at the same time. And, you know, the whole thing is just, it's set up to not break down those foods.
All right.
You know, now if you slowed it down and possibly didn't have the bread and, you know, didn't have your whole body competing with everything.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason. You know, and things like garnishes, you know, in different cultures, they all use different things, and it's sort of old school on what aids digestion.
Yeah.
You have sauerkraut with the Germans and turmeric with Indians and hot peppers with Latinos, and all these things are aids to breaking down the food. Bromelain is an important enzyme that is found in pineapple. And so pineapple and meat is often put together because it breaks down the meat.
Is it because in this country we eat so many different forms of cultural food that our bodies aren't used to? In other words, if you're in India or something, you're going to be eating curry or turmeric just about every day. When you're in France, they're always eating butter and stuff. And I go, well, how come they don't have cholesterol problems? I guess because the bodies are just used to it. Is that a viable explanation?
No, it's the quality of the food.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's just, sorry. I mean, I definitely know what I shouldn't be eating here in America. And I went to Italy and felt amazing. And I went, oh, wow, they don't crap out the soil and do all sorts of weird things to the food at the very source of it. So they're eating, you know, true food like our grandparents used to eat.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Okay.
It is.
So I guess I just have to deal with that and have to take some supplements here to do that, which I assume very safe to take, I assume.
Oh, it's totally. They have it in a form for children. They have it in powders. Okay. They, when you take it in between meals, it actually handles inflammation. So you can take it. Let's say you flew overnight on an airplane and you're a bit swollen.
Yeah.
You take a couple of these enzymes and the next day you're joints don't hurt. They're not puffy. You're not all, you know, puffed up.
Enzymes are the deal. Yeah, a lot of people think they're fat, and they're kind of just always bloated, right?
Oh, my gosh. It happens all the time, especially with those guys that have those big pregnant bellies.
Yeah, hello.
That is almost 100%, well, let's say 70% bloat.
Enough to be, okay.
So, you know, they're just not breaking down their foods. Mm. And, you know, it's just key. I mean, when you look at people with dark circles under the eyes and those bloated bellies and joint pains and, you know, overweight, including children, these are all symptoms of not breaking down the meal and digestive problem.
You know, I've learned more from you in 8 minutes than I have in 4 years of high school. I don't know. I don't know how that works out, but I'm just saying.
Well, this is my area.
I suppose so. And high school wasn't mine, so that's what happened there, obviously. Okay, where do I get more information?
Well, you can get onto the website, which is naturessources.com.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can call the 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656. And if you use the code radio, you can get some free samples or 20% off your first order.
Well, give it a try then, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, and don't quit. You know, it may just mean that you need an extra one if you're eating more. So it's just, hands down, it's a wonderful product.
Wonderful. Well, pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you as well.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Out of time for today, but fear not, lady. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I certainly do wish you peace. And careful how you eat, because apparently that makes a difference. And remember, I could use your blood, so, you know, give me a jingle and you can put my clothes on and go down to this lab and have the blood test for me, and that would be fun. Good times. Fun times. You wouldn't mind doing a colonoscopy for me, would you?